Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. As we try to do faithfully, we're again going to talk about the gospel today. The fact that the gospel is for saint and sinner. We come to a section that is intensely personal for Peter. In this section, verses 12 through 15, we see the words I, me, my, used frequently. They also reveal the heart of a true biblical pastor who cares deeply for the spiritual well-being of those he ministers to. In the section we're going to read today and study, the Apostle Peter's laying out the plan and priorities for all pastors who follow him. Apostolic authority did not cease when the apostles died. Their authority is God-given and must guide all godly ministers who follow. In fact, apostolic doctrine is the foundation of every biblical church. Look at Ephesians. You got your place in 2 Peter. Look at the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2. Follow along as I read verses 19 through 22. Ephesians 2, 19 to 22. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Notice this, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And we also find in Revelation chapter 21, verse 14, this statement, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So apostolic doctrine. So we have in the Old Testament, the prophets prophesying about Christ. And we have the apostles teaching about Christ, laying that foundation for the church. Stand with me and we'll read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Please be seated. The gospel was an old hymn. I love to tell the story. It says, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. The old story is about Christ. And Peter wants again to remind the people again and again of the gospel and its necessity for every true believer. The gospel is necessary for us, not just for salvation, but for our continued growth in Christ. So we have to answer the question, what is the gospel? Simply put, the gospel is the good news of salvation for undeserving sinners through the person and work of Christ. That's the gospel. The good news of salvation to undeserving sinners through the person of Jesus Christ and his work. It's vital that the gospel is reaffirmed, even though the audience already knows it. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, it's vital that the pastor preach the gospel and the people listening hear the gospel over and over again. Notice what Peter said in verse 12. We've already read it, but look at it again. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them. Over and over and over again. Peter wasn't the only one that talked this way. Paul said this in Romans chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God. There are things in the gospel that must be preached boldly over and over and over again. You see, it's the gospel that shores up the foundation of faith and keeps the believer from forgetfulness and sloth. The gospel is the reminder. It keeps us from forgetfulness and it keeps us from being slothful in our Christian faith. That's why Peter could say in verse 12, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you, and skip on, though you're established in the truth that you have. I'm going to remind you over and over and over again. You already know it. You've heard the gospel. It's what saved you. But you need to hear it again. And you need to hear it again. And you need to hear it again. And yet, even in biblical churches, even in truly biblical churches, there are people who hear it and hear it and hear it, and it's like water on a rock. And yet, they're going to hear it again and again. Why? Because we're prone to forgetfulness. 2 Peter 1:9. Whoever lacks these qualities, those things that add to our faith, if you're not growing and changing, it's because you're forgetful. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So Peter says, I'm going to keep reminding you. We're forgetful people. We're forgetful. How do you know you're forgetful? How do you respond in trouble? What happens when you're in trouble? What happens when hardships come? Do you remind yourself of the gospel or do you respond in worldly ways? If you respond in worldly ways, it's because you've forgotten the gospel. If you respond believing the gospel, it's because you've been reminded of it over and over and over again. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he's dealing with this issue of this false teaching on the resurrection. Some say there's no resurrection. Some say the resurrection already occurred. And Paul is writing to the church of Corinth saying, look, I need to remind you of certain things. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Now I would remind you, brothers. What's he going to remind them of? I'm going to remind you, brothers, of the gospel The gospel I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. So the preaching of the gospel over and over and over is such because we're forgetful people. And we can, unfortunately, easily forget that which Christ has for us, which is our salvation and our sanctification. It's the responsibility of every faithful minister to continually preach the gospel over and over and over. And here's one of the problems that the modern church has fallen into. And it is that the modern church has left the preaching of the gospel for something more sinister. You see, God calls ministers to be faithful, not creative. He calls ministers to be faithful, not creative. Verse 13. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, as long as Peter has life, he's going to continue to preach the gospel. Thomas Schreiner said this in his commentary. He said, the innovations suggested by the false teachers are superfluous and dangerous. The church has been taught and fortified by the gospel. The good news about salvation to unworthy sinners who are saved by the power and work of Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 1:17, Paul said this to the church at Corinth, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And not with words of eloquent wisdom. He didn't tell me to be creative. Lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. See, when we leave the preaching of the gospel for creative teaching and felt needs emphasis teaching, we lose, the gospel loses its power in the hearts and lives of the people because we've left the preaching of the gospel. It is because pastors have forgotten the goal of preaching. The goal of preaching is not how many people walk the aisle or how many converts do I get or what's the attendance on Sunday. The goal of preaching the gospel is faithfulness. It's to stir people up with the reminder of gospel truth. That's the goal of the preaching of the gospel. Again, verse 13, I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. The goal of preaching is the stirring up of the people by preaching the gospel. This phrase, I think it right, can literally be translated, I consider it my duty. It's my duty to preach the gospel. It's not our duty to grow a church. It's not our duty to make sure that felt needs are met. It's our duty to preach the gospel and let God do the work. Kenneth Wiest, in his word studies from the Greek New Testament, wrote this. He said, the preacher and teacher should be an intense student of the word. There's a place for the repetition of the old truths which the saints know well. Much of it has not yet been put into practice, and the fact that it is repeated gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to make it experiential in the life of the believer. We preach it over and over and over because we need it. It's not just for the Christian. You see, because we needed it before we became Christians. It's the preaching of the gospel to lost people, and the unsaved are stirred up to conviction of sin for salvation. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, this has nothing to do with door-to-door evangelism. It has more to do with teaching in the home. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. You see, Timothy had the blessing of having a godly mother and a godly grandmother who taught him the gospel. And Paul is telling Timothy these words, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on to talk about the power of the scripture. The gospel changes lives. If you're in Christ today, you're here as a changed life person because of the gospel. But it doesn't stop there. The gospel isn't just for the salvation of lost souls. The gospel is for the sanctification of those souls that have been saved. Look back at our text in 2 Peter. Go to chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 11. 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through the apostles. Let's skip over to verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? So the preaching of the gospel is for the edifying of the church so that we live holy and godly lives in this world. Again, Thomas Schreiner wrote these words, "Reminders arouse and provoke believers, prompting them to prize the gospel afresh." Peter hoped that his words would stab the believers awake so that they would reject what the opponents taught. Believers know the gospel, and yet they must, in a sense, relearn it every day. We have to relearn the gospel daily. It's not enough to be saved and then we forget it. We must be saved and always rehearsing that wonderful gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Back in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, Peter wrote these words, "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever." It's Christ who establishes us. It's Christ who confirms us. It's Christ who strengthens us. And we believers need to be stirred up in our faith. We need to be prodded by the gospel so that we never take for granted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the atonement that he made for our sins, so that we value that highly and never minimize it. Why is this important to ministers? Because a minister's time to serve Christ is a vapor. Faithfully preaching the gospel is of utmost importance. These three verses would be great for pastor's conference, but Peter didn't write it for pastor's conferences. He wrote it for the people listening to the gospel. As a reminder of the duty for pastors, because there are many people in churches who have expectations for pastors that aren't biblical. It is the duty of the pastor to preach the gospel, not to grow the church. If we remember Scripture, we're to sow, we're to water. It's God that gives the increase. The growing of the church is God's responsibility. The preaching of the gospel is the pastor's responsibility. Why is this important to Peter? Well, you remember after Jesus restored Peter, after his ginormous failure, which we obviously have never done because we've never denied Jesus. Of course we do. And Peter denied him three times, though he said, you know, all these guys, they're all weak. I'm your man. I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, tonight you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. And he failed in keeping his promise to never deny the Lord. He wept bitterly. He went out. He did what he naturally does. He went fishing. And after the resurrection of Christ, Peter and Jesus are taking a walk. John's tagging along. And Jesus restores Peter. And in the restoration of Peter, he also tells him how he's going to die. When you're old, people are going to carry you where you didn't want to go. Look at John 21. John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. John 21, 18 and 19. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you did not want to go. And John gives this commentary. He said, this he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Peter, you're going to die in the same manner that Christ died. It's important for Peter because that thought and those words are always going along in his brain. There are some things you can't help but rehearse. I imagine that would be one of them. When you're old, people will carry you where you don't want to go. And Peter has to be thinking as he wrote this letter, I'm old now. I'm old and I'm witnessing the culture, noticing the danger from being a Christian and being a leader of the Christian movement. And so Peter recognizes that the time of his death is near, just as Jesus told him, when you're old. Verse 14. That's why Peter wrote, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. I'm old. My death is going to be soon. Life is a vapor. It appears for a little while, it vanishes away, and pastors can only preach the gospel physically for a limited amount of time and a very short span of time. Preach the gospel. The greatest legacy a pastor can leave is one that faithfully points people to Jesus Christ. It would be a horrible thing for a legacy of a pastor to be, boy, he was really socially inclusive. Boy, he could tell jokes like nobody else. I my side hurt so bad from being at church. Man, that music was great. Did he preach the gospel? Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon. Putting off of my body. It's Peter's not saying, I'm going to die, that's the end. What he's saying in putting off my body is I'm exchanging one thing for another. I'm putting off this body to have a new one. Literally, what he said was, I'm putting off my tabernacle, my tent, my temporary dwelling place. Paul used the same kind of language in 2 Corinthians. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 1 to 5. Paul uses it in just a little different way than Peter, but it's the same kind of emphasis that we live in a tabernacle, a tent. So notice verses 1 to 5 of 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we should be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Just like Peter said, we live in a tent. Our body is a tent. And it's got to be put off, exchanged for that heavenly clothing, the heavenly tent. And what Peter's saying is, look, this doesn't end my life. This begins the greater life, the eternal life that was promised. But while I'm here, I'm going to continually remind you of the gospel. Why? Because the church must be built on Christ, the true foundation, not upon the personality of the pastor. Verse 14, as the Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. It's Jesus Christ who's the foundation. Peter is called the rock, the little pebble, the stone. The truth that is the big rock is that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That he's the one that's the foundation for the church. It's the foundation for all of history. Everything revolves around Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 11. according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. And someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is a pastoral context. It's not a personal context. This is not about how you build on your life, on the foundation in your life. This is about how pastors continue to build on the one foundation which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if pastors fail to continue to build on the gospel by teaching it over and over and over, those pastors have missed the mark. That's why it's vital that the Christian, particularly today in our information age, that it's vital that you take special care who you listen to, who you're reading, what you're watching. Especially when it comes to Christian things. What kinds of songs are you listening to? Because there's one foundation, and it's Jesus Christ. And it's the preaching of the gospel that is the most important thing in any church service. It's the ordinary means that God uses to transform unbelievers to new believers and transform believers to the image of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. This is the final statement, this letter of 2 Peter. This final statement, like his last will and testament, this is his last testament concerning what he would have for those pastors who follow. And it is this: a faithful minister will strive to make the way of Christ known. That's the goal of a godly pastor, to make the way of Christ known. That's why Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:15, I will make every effort. I'll make every effort. You may have seeing this language back in verse 10. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail, never fall. And back in verse 5 of 2 Peter 1. For this very reason, make every effort. So this idea of diligence, which is the same phrase as make every effort, it is the responsibility of the Christian to do everything within their power, empowered by the Spirit of God. Because we, outside of that, we have no power to conform to the image of Christ. But we do everything within our power, empowered by the Spirit of God, to grow in the image of Jesus Christ. What does Peter want for those who are going to continue to read this letter and study this letter in the centuries that follow? What does he want? He wants to make Christ known. Look at chapter 3 of our text. Chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, 13 and 14. But according to his promise, that's Christ's promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent. Make every effort to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Empowered by the Spirit of God, do everything within that power to anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ and the new heaven and the new earth and be at peace. Be at peace. Grow in Christ and be at peace. We preach the gospel because partly Christians are so not at peace. We get so agitated so quickly, and that is not what the gospel produces. The gospel produces peace. Peace in turmoil. Peace in troubling times. Peace in chaos. The gospel gives peace. A peace that passes understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The goal of faithful preaching is to make Christ known so that he's in the hearts and minds of the people, no matter what they're facing. That's the goal of faithful gospel preaching. Faithful gospel preaching is a reminder again and again and again of the work of Jesus Christ, the atoning sacrifice, justification, our righteous standing in him, all because of what he has done for us. And when a pastor does that faithfully, week after week after week, from the beginning to the end of Scripture, he's teaching the people to know Christ and to make him known. To know Christ and to live at peace. Verse 15. And Peter says of himself, I will make every effort so that after my departure, you will be able at any time to recall these things. Why does he put that in the future tense? Because he's writing, they're going to receive it maybe even after his departure, but he uses it in the future, partly because this text will live because it's the authoritative word of God preserved for us. And partly because these people know him and he, being dead, still lives. He's a reminder. He speaks to us through the Scripture about Christ over and over and over again. Paul said this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Colossians 1, 27 and 28. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. We preach Christ and him crucified because it is the power of the cross, which stands as the symbol for the sacrifice and payment of Christ for sins. It's how we grow and change in Christ. Pastor Jason introduced to you this morning the Gospel Primer. And in the Gospel Primer, I want to close with this statement because I think it's really good. Milton Vincent, on page 14 of the Gospel Primer, makes this statement. There is simply no other way to compete with the forebodings of my conscience, the condemnings of my heart, and the lies of the world and the devil than to overwhelm such things with daily rehearsings of the gospel. Outside of heaven, The power of God in its highest density is found inside the gospel. This must be so. For the Bible twice, Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and 1 Corinthians 1 18, the Bible twice describes the gospel as the power of God. Nothing else in all of Scripture is ever described in this way except for the person of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God. Why do we preach the gospel over and over? It's the power of God. Why should we never get tired of hearing about the gospel? Because it's the power of God. And maybe you've heard the gospel over and over for years, but you have never truly yielded to it. I would encourage you today to surrender to the power of the gospel. And Christian, don't get caught up in the prosperity gospel, because it is a false gospel. And in Galatians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, twice in those verses, Paul says, if anyone should preach a different gospel other than the one I preach to you, let him be accursed. And I don't care if it's angels that do it. The power of the gospel is in the life and work of Jesus Christ. Let that encourage your souls today, Christian, as you walk and live for Him. Stand with me and we'll pray. Our Father, we thank You for this reminder once again of the beauty of the gospel. The good news of salvation to undeserving sinners through the life and work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. May You, Father, be glorified. May we be edified and built up and prodded into a closer and deeper walk with You. And Father, we admit that the things of this world are very appealing, but help us, Lord, to always focus on Jesus Christ, His love for us. And may we strive to honor the one who loved us and died for us. And we'll give You the glory in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who loved us, died for us, rose again, ascended, and is coming back. May He be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.